On Thursdays, we read from your letters.
Our conversation about the barons of bankruptcy, CEOs who made fortunes through failing businesses, cheered Jim Berger in La Mesa, California. He writes, I believe I have what it takes to make a business go bankrupt. In fact, I know I could do it, just given the chance. Quite frankly, I never realized what a marketable skill this might be until I heard Robert Siegel's interview with the managing editor for the Financial Times. Mr. Berger concludes his email, clearly, the financial compensation and other benefits are utterly fabulous. Where can I sign up?
In Montrose, Colorado, David Anderson says our report on the world's negative view of America and its policies failed to ask the most important question, is American policy, in fact, arrogant, imperialistic, and usually entirely self-serving economically. And in Ithaca, New York, George Smith adds, by not considering that America could change international perception by changing its international behavior, your report displays the arrogance and self-absorption that much of the world finds typical of Americans.
About civil service protection for workers in the proposed Department of Homeland Security, Bob Nicholas writes, the whole debate over homeland security and the focus on federal employees is missing a key element, and that is a discussion of who these individuals are and what they do.
Mr. Nicholas continues, my understanding is federal employees are performing absolutely critical jobs and actually doing them quite well. They maintain the aircraft that are protecting our skies, test our food, air, and water to make sure they're safe to drink, get our Social Security checks out every month, they've never missed a deadline, protect our borders, care for veterans, and perform a wide variety of critical services. They are mothers, fathers, active community members, just like the rest of us who work for a living.
Our story on the so-called Nigerian email scams led Ivan Stegich to his inbox and then to the proper authorities to report the name of his scam letter writer. Sure, he may not get life imprisonment, nor will he get a single day behind bars, Mr. Stegich writes, but at least he will have the discomfort of having his mailbox removed.
Many listeners responded to Jane Yolen's Radiation Sonnets, poems composed as her husband had radiation treatment. Joy Flood writes, I was on the Beltway dealing with the effects of a long day and found myself amazed. With the last word of each poem, I said, wow.
The Los Angeles city attorney, who wants to charge licensing fees when the city's police are part of TV dramas, brought this response from Walter Weeks in Coates, North Carolina. The motive here should be evident. L.A. has an image problem. Mr. Delgadillo wants to exert some level of control over the network's portrayal of city government and services.
Finally, the new CD of Enrico Caruso, old recordings mixed with a new orchestra, brought memories back for Carol Thomas in Cincinnati. I was raised on a farm in Michigan, she writes, and my Italian grandmother introduced me to Caruso at a very early age. I remember sitting beside her in front of the Victrola, watching this extremely large disc spin round and round with this voice of an angel coming out of the speaker. My grandmother would translate the words for me and cry while she listened, as did I, remembering those precious times.
Thanks for your memories, your letters, your reactions. Send more. Our address is atc@npr.org. That's atc@npr.org. And be sure to tell us where you're writing from and how you pronounce your name.